So now let's get into some of the questions in the comments that are more about me. The first one is, we don't want to back some dreamer who won't ultimately do anything. So I spent an entire career, as did my co-founder, in DoD technology prototyping. What does that mean? That means we spent careers envisioning technologies that could exist, that were quite feasible. It's just that nobody had done it yet. Figured out how to do it and went and made it happen. Making it happen meant going and getting money from members of the Pentagon, from Congress itself, from office directors and directors at DARPA. You had to go and sell the idea. Money doesn't just get handed to you. You have to get out there and sell it. So coming up with the what to do, selling the idea to get money to do it, getting the teams on board, and managing those programs, which is managing technical development, but also the management of selling that end product then, when successful, into a different customer, which is not the first one who gave you money. It's somebody else. It's the actual users. In this case, it might have been the Marine Corps, Air Force Special Ops, NRO, different organizations. So it's the entire same life cycle. And we did this for decades. We got really good at it. What is complex? One of the more complex programs that my co-founder, we'll start with one of his, was a $13 billion satellite that had to go from planning, building, testing, launch, and initial operation. And you cannot risk that it doesn't work when it gets up there. That's my favorite one of his. Where to begin? Just at DARPA alone, when I was there, that was probably the most complex and the most technically difficult. I had 17 programs, each of them simultaneously, not in a row, 17 simultaneous programs. Each of them was addressing a different technical problem that we were trying to solve, something that we wanted to try to do. Each of those 17 had less than a 10% chance of success. That is what we call DARPA hard, when the technical success probability is less than 10%. They were all that way. That's why it was a DARPA. Every single one of those 17 programs had at minimum two different companies or teams of companies who were attempting to solve the problem by different methods. It's such a great standard DARPA thing, but I love it, to have two different competing vectors in on a problem and see which one does the best. It's a great way to go, competing the different potential solutions. And we did this a lot. So each of the 17 programs had at least two different companies, sometimes teams of companies, sometimes three or four different companies in the lead, trying one, two, three, or four different solutions to see what's going to work. And each problem had less than a 10% chance of getting anywhere, much less finding a solution. That's a lot. Now that's complex. That's a lot of moving parts. And every single one of those 17 programs, I had to sell them the resulting end successful product, and they were all successful in the end. I had to sell all of those into military forces, talking to the Army, talking to the Air Force, talking to the Navy, the Marines, Air Force Special Ops Command. Sitting in front of two-star generals that are pretty sure that you're really not good for anything, and convincing them that you're building this amazing thing that's really going to help them out. Not only should they take it over when it's finished and it's prepared, but they should actually do the enormous effort of creating an entire program around it themselves to continue to improve it. Just kind of take it over and keep going and keep making it better and make 1,000 of them and deploy and train people on them. You're not just asking them for money when you're selling into those services. You're asking them for a decade of time and massive effort. And that's the sales job I had to do. So that was complex. That was hard, which is a measure of technical risk. And it was complex, which is a measure of how many moving parts you have to keep track of, who's doing what, when, and how. How in the world did I do that? I got really good at program management and tracking and reporting and taking action and talking to anyone, no matter how intimidating they would like to think they are. I'm talking to you out there, you two-star Marine Corps generals. And I had to then go back to Congress and write up convincing arguments to convince them that once I hand this off, they should continue to give hundreds of millions of dollars into each of those programs. It's a constant sales job. It's a constant talking to people who like to think they're intimidating. It's working within what I think is the most difficult and possibly the most corrupt industry on the entire planet. It doesn't get harder than that. So that's where I'm coming from. So when you take a look at that kind of thing, Geode is actually, I'm not going to call it a cakewalk. It has its challenges, but its challenges are fun. Okay, so this one made me laugh. This is a tough business. Are you sure you can handle it? I love it. Oh my God. I love it. I love it so much. You think this is a tough business? You don't know. I was raised by a Vietnam era Marine. I'm sorry, but you can't find anything that's going to intimidate me or get me upset. I don't mind being told no. I don't mind doors shut. I will find a way to get them open. I am the definition of action and persistence. So have you ever hit a real challenge on a project? Holy cow, yes. All right, story time. Okay, I'm going to start with that there are different types of challenges. Some projects, you have technical challenges in the sense that the technical approach you intended to take did not work, and now you have to come up with a different idea. This happens all the time. Of course it happens all the time. This is standard issue in technical development. So I've seen 100 of those. The general methodology there is to back up, make a new plan, give it another go. Sometimes actually trying 2, 3, 4 different things simultaneously to kind of see what works best. Easily dealt with. The trick as a leader is to not let the team get discouraged, but to keep them hyped up and to keep them on point. Because the brilliance is there in your team. You just need to bring it out. Now, there are other kinds of challenges, which I would argue are actually much more difficult. There are financial challenges. There are socio-political challenges. There are PR challenges. There are legal and regulatory challenges, certainly in the blockchain space, but we've dealt with that a lot before as well. So a few stories. I'll give you 3 examples, and if these don't blow you away, I don't know what will. I'll go from easiest to hardest. One of the more simpler challenges, this was on the financial side that I dealt with, is one morning I came when I was a DARPA PM, I came in and I found that my office director had taken half of my money and given it to another program. And when I asked why, he said, well, because your program is not struggling. I was ahead of schedule and under budget. The other program that he gave it to was struggling very badly. They were over budget, over schedule. Things weren't going well over there. So there was nothing I could do about it. I could rage all I wanted to. No, it wasn't going to change anything. I had half the money I thought I was going to have. Now, you can get upset about that, or you can decide that you're going to figure out how to make it work. And the answer is to figure out how to make it work. My general philosophy is the situations, especially when you're working with new technologies, they're changing all the time. New regulatory environments, you know, crop up, new regulations, some legal issue, some financial problem, you know, a human capital problem, you know, some issue on the team. You just don't know. And isn't that what keeps it interesting? Isn't that what keeps it exciting? Things happen. But you decide up front to simply find a way. So, okay, we had half the money we thought we were going to have. We're still going to be ahead of schedule. and under budget, you freaking make it work. And that's what we did. Second example. Prior to DARPA, it was a little skunk works that was doing rapid prototyping. Our job was to get in a requirement, design a system, build it, test it, and deploy it in 9 months. Unheard of. Governments don't work that fast. Well, we did. Now, this was a government organization, and I was a contractor doing program management. I have two great stories from that one. The first one is it was a very cool program called PTDS, and it was a blimp about the size of a football field, and it was tethered. So it was attached to a base station by a huge Kevlar cable, power up and data coming down. That one actually went pretty freaking great. Went really well, I think. All the way in. We didn't have too many technical problems, which for a prototype is like insane. Testing went great. We found operators, got them trained, you know, very, very fun. And then it got all the way into theater and it got in position and they started using it and they loved it. And it was the star of the show. Now, this was the only prototype in existence, the only one of its kind at that time. It was just there for them to try it out. And if it was good, then they could take it over and make a bunch of them. So one on prototype, it had its own space on a base. I won't say which one. And it had a no-fly zone around it for the reason I'm about to tell you now. A helicopter, young pilot, being where he shouldn't be, clips the tether. Crashes the helicopter. He was okay. Broke a leg. He was fine. Grounded for a while. Important lessons. The balloon starts floating away. It's full of helium. It's just floating away. Great. Okay. Why is this a problem? This is a problem, number one, because it's a useful technology. It's the only copy they had. And number two, because it had classified packages on it. Now we have a big, big problem. It starts floating away. Ultimately, long story short, they had to, one, shoot it down, and then, two, blow it up. Yes. So we get a call from theater explaining all of this. Blew it up, huh? Had to blow it up, right? Completely disintegrated, yes, vaporized, okay. Get us another one. You know, we don't have another one. That was a prototype, it's the only one of its kind. Well, then make us another one. Yes, sir. Get it here in a month. Oh, okay. Yes, sir. So we had to go get more money, go find. And you don't even understand. That was World War II era dirigible. Did go find another one. Go get more copies of all the stuff that went on it. Build it. Test it. And get it over there in a month. And we did. And again, you just have to decide that it's going to happen and you're going to find a way. And find a way. Now, my third example is the absolute worst. I challenge you to ever find a program or a project or an enterprise or a company of any kind that ever had anything go wrong as bad as this one just did. This was not my program. I want to start off with that. This was not my program. I was brought in the morning after to clean up the mess. Here we go. So this program was an airplane, and it had various sensors and prototype interesting things hanging off the bottom. Not that novel of an idea until you knew what was hanging off the bottom of the plane. And that I have to be careful what I say about that. But that's the idea. You have a plane, put some things on it, put some sensors on it, fly around, collect data. Not a new idea. So we had some prototype technology on this plane. We had two copies of the plane, because that's convenient. One can be refueling while the other one is doing its job. That program I wasn't paying too much attention to because it wasn't mine. I get called in one morning, and I'm told that there's been a problem with that program. I'm like, oh no, I don't think it's any of my problem yet until I get told that, yeah, well, we need you to go clean it up. oh, okay, what's the problem? Well, it was 24 hours away from deploying into theater. They were going to fly these planes over and they were going to start operations. Everybody was very excited. What a huge success. The night before, the pilots decided it would be a good idea to take their families for a joyride and try to take pictures of each other as they're flying like this. It did not end well. Due to that absolutely catastrophic pilot error, unbelievably bad decision making, 3 people died, 2 of which should never have been on that plane. All of the equipment was lost. 1 pilot survived. Lucky, very lucky. This equipment was supposed to be in theater the next day. So now I have a technical problem in that the only prototype in existence no longer exists. It's expected to be there in a day. That's not going to happen. So now I have a political problem with the commanders in theater who are not going to understand this because it's not understandable. I have a financial problem because there's no money to make another. And I have a press problem because the local news got it all on video and was airing it publicly, including video of classified packages. Holy cow. Unbelievable. This is, I'm still amazed when I think about it. Technical, financial, socio-political, PR, and you got a legal problem because of what happened and because of the lives that were lost. Wow. So I was brought in to clean that up. And the request was, we want a copy of this deployed in a month and clean up all that mess, all of that legal, financial, and socio-political problem and deal with this general over here and just deal with all that too. Well, it did actually take 6 weeks, but we did it in 6 weeks. Now, we can't bring people back. And that was messed up. I don't think I'll ever see another program where it got that bad. I hope not. But that's as bad as it can get, and even that,
Thanks for joining
me. Let me know what other questions and comments you have. Book a call with me and let's talk further about it. You can get to the link on my Calendly page. I'll make sure I put that below. It's in the data room. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.